Chapter 10. When Obi-Wan heads to the kitchen later that night, way past midnight, both by the ship's and the station's time, the last thing he expects to see is Anakin Skywalker sitting there on the floor by the fish tanks. All of the fish tanks. The kid has even taken the small one off the kitchen table where it had been pushed to the wall to get it out of the way. The bowl sits on the floor beside the kid, its quiet bubbling nearly inaudible next to the systems of the big tank. Obi-Wan stops to look at him for just a moment, running a hand over his face. He really doesn't have the energy for this. Then he decides to just ignore the kid and do what he'd meant to do, and gets himself a drink. He doesn't drink often. Not often enough to keep himself stocked with liquor, anyway. The only bottle of anything alcoholic he has is a leftover from a visit by Hassona. A bottle of Malice, a wine far too sweet for Obi-Wan's tastes, but it would do for this. The boy on the floor watches him fetch the bottle from one of the cupboards. It's warm, but hell if he cares, Obi-Wan decides, and pours himself a glass. Is Qui-Gon going to leave me here?
Damn it!
Obi-Wan doesn't answer immediately, taking a gulp of the wine first. Not nearly strong enough, he thinks with dismay. I wonder if he should have cracked open a bag of leaf after all. It doesn't have the kick or edge of alcohol, but it definitely would have made this bit more manageable.
You were listening? Obi-Wan asks.
He hadn't felt the kid. During the whole sordid discussion, the kid had been in his cabin, as promised. But then, they're all Force-sensitives here, so what the hell does that matter?
I know I shouldn't have, but yeah, Anakin says, and shifts where he's sitting, tugging his legs to his chest and hugging them.
I don't want to be a bother, he mutters. Obi-Wan says nothing for a moment, drinking his wine and wishing he'd just stayed in the damn lab. Or better yet, gone to his cabin and just stayed there. Why the fuck is it his responsibility to reassure this kid?
Because Qui-Gon Jinn is a complete fucking moron. That's why.
It's not your fault, Obi-Wan sighs and turns to face the kid. He looks pathetic, sitting there, huddled in on himself, surrounded by the things he likes the most, as far as Obi-Wan's ship goes anyway. Water and fish and plants. Qui-Gon is not wrong about something. Anakin is better fit for the Agri-Corps than most initiates. Put this kid under a lesson about seed germination and he'd probably have a blast. Whereas do the same with a temple-raised brat, and they'll cry themselves to sleep that night.
Doesn't look very happy right now, though.
Hell, kid, Obi-Wan sighs, and takes the glass and the bottle and goes to him, falling to sit cross-legged in front of him on the floor.
The fact that Qui-Gon Jinn has more issues than the fucking Coruscant Chronicle is not your fault. You just have the bad luck to get caught in between, that's all.
Still affects me, Anakin says faintly against his knees. And that's the thing, isn't it? Qui-Gon Jinn's problems aren't their faults. But alas, they still affect them. Obi-Wan sighs and sets the bottle down, taking another drink, hoping to get drunk and soon, please. Not a very good example to put in front of a 9-year-old, but at this point of his life, Anakin has probably seen worse things than stress drinking.
Is he right? Anakin asks quietly. Is he a bad teacher?
Obi-Wan shakes his head.
I'm sure I wouldn't know, he mutters.
Except he does know. He's watched Qui-Gon with Anakin long enough to know the man has no idea what he's really doing.
It's been, what, 21 years now since the man had last had a Padawan? And that Padawan had been Xanatos du Creon, too. What experience Qui-Gon has ever had? It's long since evaporated, and he doesn't treat Anakin like a student. Not even like an attentive listener. He treats the kid more like a father would treat his son. Before Obi-Wan had watched it, and felt just more and more bitter, but that's not how a Jedi Master ought to be treating their prospective student, is it? Is that how Qui-Gon had treated Xanatos too? With oh so much care and pride, and like the bastard could do no wrong? All the while expecting him to become the best knight in the damn order. Obi-Wan rather doubts it's enough to make someone fall dark side. He's seen enough things to know how important parental love can be. But still, they're Jedi. It doesn't work like that for them. I'm sorry, Anakin says. What? Obi-Wan asks, looking down at him, confused. Because of him, you didn't become a Jedi Knight. Anakin says, and looks down, not meeting his eyes. I guess it makes sense that you're angry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry he didn't teach you. I still want him to teach me, though. Obi-Wan frowns at him for a moment, trying to catch up with whatever the kid is thinking. Then he looks away, down at the wine glass, turning it idly in his fingers. Do you really? Obi-Wan asks. You want to become a Jedi Knight? Anakin hesitates at that, frowning. I promised my mom I'd become a Jedi, he says then, and I want Master Qui-Gon to teach me. I'm sorry he was mean to you, but he hasn't been mean to me, and I like him. He's nice to me. Obi-Wan stares at the kid. The way Anakin reaches for the fishbowl, wondering privately if it was maybe the first gift anyone had given the kid. Shaking his head, Obi-Wan lifts the wine glass again, taking a deep gulp. It wasn't because of him I didn't become a Jedi Knight, Obi-Wan says finally, and lowers the glass with a sigh. Qui-Gon Jinn was far from the only master who rejected me. He was just the last one. And it's easier to pin blame on the one person in the end, to make them the villain in your personal tragedy, than to accept that they were just one of many, and maybe there was a reason so many had passed him by. Obi-Wan had had exhibition duels in front of dozens of Jedi Masters for years before Qui-Gon had said that final no. It was just easier to pretend otherwise. It's the same for most of the Agri Corps members, or Service Corps members in general. Some rise above it, and Obi-Wan has privately felt so jealous of that. But for most of them, it's easier to have someone to blame. Someone other than yourself, anyway. Obi-Wan shakes his head and looks at Anakin. He is a complete fucking moron, though. And not just because he doesn't know how to teach, apparently. He says, and scoffs. Decades! And apparently the venerable Master Jinn hadn't deigned to take a lesson in teaching. I guess it's easier to angst about it than to actually do something about it. Okay, there's the wine finally working! And there's him! Pinning the blame on Qui-Gon Jinn once more. Hooray for personal growth! Huh? Anakin asks, blinking up at him. People teach teaching? Obi-Wan sighs. There are actual universities about this shit, he says. Hell, we hold classes about teaching methods on Greenhouse, too. We have to know. Most of what we do at Agri Corps involves teaching people. It's not like we can just go in, establish agricultural system, and fly off again. No, people have to know how to use what we give them. Give people a crop and a field, and they farm it to death. Teach them how to farm themselves, and they'll make more fields, develop their own methods. It's just common sense.
Anakin eyes him warily. Okay, he says slowly. Maybe the Jedi Knights don't do that, though?
Obi-Wan scowls at that, and then he thinks about it. The Jedi Knight's primary function is diplomacy, keeping peace, negotiating treaties, and in worst cases, dealing with threats to the Republic. Qui-Gon himself is known for his political negotiations, isn't he? He is a diplomat and a fighter. Diplomats and fighters would get different training than people who are brought in to help others into a better way of life. And after a Jedi initiate becomes a Padawan, they no longer learn in classes at all, do they? They learn from their master. Does that involve teaching the student to one day be a teacher themselves? Looking at Qui-Gon now, Obi-Wan rather doubts it. And for the first time, Obi-Wan wonders who was Qui-Gon's master. He would have had to have one, after all, to become a knight himself. So someone taught him, one-on-one, to be what he was. Maybe they don't do that. Yeah, Obi-Wan says, and frowns. Somehow, he'd never even thought about it. That maybe the Service Corps members might have gotten better education than knights in their apprentice system. How utterly bizarre. Anakin watches him, his head tilted back.
Why don't you like being in the Agri Corps? He asks then. Why is it so bad?
You have your own ship and all these plants, all this water, and everything, and you do good things, don't you?
Obi-Wan opens his mouth to state the damn obvious. Because he was supposed to be a knight.
But then he stops, frowning.
That's the expected answer, the ingrained response. It's what the washout initiates say, the would-be Padawans. The kid's still complaining about how it had to be a mistake. They should have been a knight, not a farmer or a doctor or a researcher or whatever else they're slated to become.
But time wears that away, until it becomes little more than a platitude. They're still bitter, each and every one of them in their own way. But after 12 years, you tend to wisen up. It's been a while since Obi-Wan honestly and truly wanted to leave Agri Corps and become a knight. It's been years now. Now they share those stories and lament on the loss of potential just because it's a habit more than anything. They're the washouts. It's what they do.
Obi-Wan says, frowning and looking down.
It's not, he says finally. It's like, have you ever...
He trails off, looking at the kid in front of him.
All of 9 years old.
Never mind, he says. It's not bad, and I do like being in Agri Corps. I wouldn't change my life now. But there was a time when I wanted to become a knight. It kind of lingers.
I don't get it,
Anakin says, frowning.
You did pod racing once, right?
Obi-Wan asks.
Yeah, only human who can do it, the kid says, with some faint echo of pride.
Do you miss it?
Anakin shrugs.
It hasn't been that long. Maybe a little, he admits.
Well, maybe you could have been a pod racer all your life, Obi-Wan says. He could have gotten fame out of it, glory, riches. Only human who can pod race. That's the stuff for headlines and documentaries, you know. That's a life you could have led, and who knows, it could have been amazing. I think about being a knight the same way. I could have had that life. It could have been great. But I'll never know. The thought of it sort of hangs about. The could have been.
Anakin says nothing for a moment, thinking about it.
So you... aren't mad at Qui-Gon about the AgriCorps, he says slowly.
What are you mad about then?
Obi-Wan sighs and scrubs a hand over his face.
Hell if I know, kid,
he says.
All of it, and at the same time, none of it. Mostly, he's just frustrated about the years he wasted on... on all of it. He hadn't really been sitting idle and just lamenting his fate. There's no sitting idle in the service corps. There's always too much to do. But just... if he knew back then what he knows now, what he's finally starting to figure out, then those years would have been so much easier. If he could have just dedicated himself to the AgriCorps without the baggage of being a failure, then...
Obi-Wan bows his head for a moment and sighs. Growing up is exhausting, he thinks, and then looks at Anakin. The boy is looking at the fish tanks, looking troubled and uneasy. He's shivering.
Are you cold?
Obi-Wan asks.
Go get a tunic or something.
Anakin shifts where he sits, making a face.
I don't have one.
Obi-Wan stares at him for a moment before the words register.
You don't have one.
Anakin shrugs, and Obi-Wan looks him over. The kid hasn't changed his clothes once, now that he thinks about it. And he doesn't have a tunic to wear. The kid literally has nothing but the clothes on his back. And now, a little fish tank. Like that helps.
I'm going to kick Qui-Gon's ass, Obi-Wan says flatly.
What? Why? Anakin asks with alarm.
He's an idiot,
Obi-Wan grunts, and stands up, grabbing the bottle by the neck as he stands.
Come on, let's get you some clothes.
What? Anakin says.
I got spared. Come on,
Obi-Wan says impatiently, and then leads the confused, vaguely alarmed Anakin to one of the storerooms. In there, he has various stuff. Furniture, tents, extra bedding, some actual hammocks, tarps, so on and so on. Stuff one might need while setting up a camp in the middle of nowhere in some backwater planet. He also has crates full of clothes. While Anakin watches wide-eyed, Obi-Wan slaps the wine bottle on a nearby crate and then digs into the crate of clothes, checking packages for sizes... They're wrapped in plastoid as sets, with a tunic, trousers, and socks in each one. Shoes he keeps in a different crate. Each package is marked with material and size, and it doesn't take long at all for Obi-Wan to find a set that should fit Anakin.
You have a crate full of clothes, Anakin says, amazed, as Obi-Wan slaps the plastoid package against his chest.
I work at relief effort. Obi-Wan shrugs. Something you learn early on. There's always someone out there who could use a new set of clothing. Just wasn't expecting to find one on my damn ship.
Why didn't Qui-Gon get you clothes?
We didn't stay at the Jedi Temple for long,
Anakin admits, even as he stares at the package.
This is... just a loan, right?
Keep 'em. Obi-Wan waves a hand. I get them for free at the station. Rich worlds donate a lot of cheap clothing to the service corps.
Anakin blinks.
They just give clothes away?
He asks warily.
Mass-produced, cheaply made clothes, yes.
Obi-Wan shrugs.
It makes them feel good about themselves, like they're doing something good and charitable and whatnot. Well, it helps some people.
Anakin frowns, looking at the plastoid package.
They should send this stuff to Tatooine,
he mutters.
People could use it.
Charity like this is kind of a double-edged sword,
Obi-Wan shrugs, and roots around the crate for more, glancing at the boy.
Tatooine, huh?
Sure, worlds like Alderaan could probably clothe every person on a planet like Tatooine, and it wouldn't cost them much. And in doing so, they'll put every clothier shop in Tatooine out of business. After all, who will buy clothing? Who will pay to get their clothes repaired if they can get new ones for free?
But everyone will have clothes, Anakin says, frowning.
And numerous people will be out of income with no way to feed themselves or their families.
Obi-Wan shrugs, and comes away with another package.
You gotta be careful about these things. Charity is well and good, but it can disrupt local economies, and ultimately make things worse in the long run for a moment of relief.
Anakin frowns at the clothing package.
Yeah,
he then agrees. Obi-Wan tears the plastoid package open and unfurls the cloth inside. It's a tunic made of thick synth wool and looks about Anakin's size.
Try this on,
he says, holding the thing out to the boy. Anakin hesitates and then takes it, squirming into the tunic. It's not very complicated in design, just a length of dark brown cloth with wide sleeves, not terribly different from Jedi tunics. It's a little too big on the boy, but he'd grow into it.
It's warm, Anakin murmurs, tugging at the wide sleeves.
Good, Obi-Wan says, closing the crate and grabbing the wine bottle again.
Now, if you need something, how about you ask, hmm?
He says, leaning into the crate and pointing a finger at the boy.
I know you're probably not used to it, but I got stuff. I can give you stuff if you need it. Okay?
Yeah, okay,
Anakin says, swallowing and hugging the still plastoid-wrapped set of clothes to his chest.
I don't want to be a bother, though.
Kid, an advice for you. Asking for help isn't a bother. Trying to figure out what you need or what's wrong when you won't say anything, that's a fucking nuisance,
Obi-Wan says, folding his arms and scowling at the kid. Speak up if you have a problem. No one's going to punish you for that.
Not on my fucking ship.
Anakin's lip quivers, and he nods, looking down. He hesitates for a moment, wavering.
I'm scared Qui-Gon won't teach me, he says. Then, do you think he'll just leave me here?
Obi-Wan eyes him for a moment, then sighs.
If you ask for it, yeah, he will, he says then.
You seem a good fit for the AgriCorps, and you'll be safer here than on your own. If it gets a way to get out of teaching you all the while knowing you'll be taken care of, then, yeah.
Anakin's chin lowers, and he makes a face like he wants to cry. And Obi-Wan sighs, crouching down to look at the kid.
Honest talk here, kid?
It's not glamorous,
Obi-Wan says.
The Service Corps are hard work, and we don't get that grace period of getting to rely on our master to take responsibility and care for us. We don't have a master-apprentice system. We learn in classrooms, in workshops, and if we're lucky, in the field, guided by a working specialist. Here in the AgriCorps, we're responsible for feeding people. And every time we fail, it's bad. People die.
Sometimes in hundreds of thousands. Sometimes in millions. Anakin stares at him, wide-eyed, and Obi-Wan shrugs.
Most planets' populations far outstrip their food production capacities, he says.
And even those who have food production might have a disaster that destroys it. A plague might kill their crops. Invasive species might eat it all. Some of that is on us, if we can't help them. And you can bet your ass they don't let us forget it every time we fail.
Obi-Wan sighs, shaking his head. But at the same time, I know how many people I've saved. I know how many people will get to eat tomorrow because of what I did for them. That number is in millions now, he says. And yeah, if it hadn't been me, it would have been someone else doing that work. I don't matter especially. Nothing I do is unique. It's not exactly something we're supposed to take pride in, but here I am. It's not a small thing for me.
Anakin's all wide-eyed now, looking both alarmed and awed.
You've saved millions of people? The boy asks.
Well, they probably wouldn't have just dropped and died, but I've helped set up a stable food production on dozens of systems on brink of famine, or already suffering famine. Obi-Wan shrugs. It's not as good as taking a hit for someone or being their bodyguard or whatever, but it still matters. And that's enough for me.
It's strangely soothing to say it out loud. It is enough for him. Sometimes he regrets things and is bitter, but that's just momentary passing thought, brought to the surface raw and writhing by Qui-Gon's presence on board the Verdant. But otherwise, not that important to his life anymore. He could have left a long time ago had he wanted to. Lots of Service Corps members did when they got the opportunity. Obi-Wan could have too. He'd been planning to. Just as soon as he got his ship, he'd be out of there, working on his own, being his own man, and damn the Jedi Order. But the work matters to him. Anyway, if you want to become a Jedi Knight, Qui-Gon will probably fight for you to make that happen, Obi-Wan says to Anakin. The man cares about you. He'll do what he feels he must for you. But if you want to stay with the AgriCorps, he shrugs.
Anakin looks down at the plastoid-wrapped clothes and frowns.
I don't know, he admits very quietly and looks at him. AgriCorps don't have masters and padawans?
Obi-Wan shakes his head.
There is too much work for individual specialists to be pulled away from it to teach just the one student.
So I couldn't be your padawan, huh?
Obi-Wan blinks at him and then frowns.
You... what? He asks.
Anakin shrugs, awkward, and looks down.
I like your ship, he mutters. You're not a bad person, just a little grumpy. I think you'd be a good teacher.
Obi-Wan can feel his eyebrows jumping upwards.
I see, he says, as dignified as he can manage.
Holy shit, kid.
Anakin winces.
Sorry, I don't mean you... I mean, you don't have to, of course. It was just a thought. If Qui-Gon won't teach me, then I wouldn't mind being taught by you. But if the AgriCorps don't work like that, then...
He shrugs, all but folding in on himself in embarrassment.
But I don't... I still want Qui-Gon to teach me. I don't know. Sorry.
Obi-Wan tilts his head a little at the kid.
He's not drunk enough for this, he decides, and stands up. Well, you're still doing the observation thing for who knows how long,
he says, frowning. "There's time to figure it out. Who knows? Maybe Qui-Gon can wisen up too in the meantime." "Yeah," Anakin says quietly, and frowns. "Are you really going to kick his ass?" he asks then, curiously. "I am so tempted." Obi-Wan sighs and lifts the bottle to have a drink. "Chances are I just end up with my own ass kicked. Qui-Gon is an idiot, but he is still a Jedi Knight. Somehow. Not entirely sure how anymore, though." Anakin laughs awkwardly at that, and Obi-Wan sighs. "Go to bed, kid," he says. "It's like 2 in the morning. Way past your bedtime." "I don't have a bedtime," Anakin says. "Congratulations! You now have a bedtime, and it's 2 in the morning, Obi-Wan says flatly, giving him a look. "Chop, chop! Get to it!" Anakin grins a little at that. "Okay. Good night, Kenobi," he says. "And thanks for the clothes." "My name is Obi-Wan," the agriculturalist says with a wave of his hand. "And you're welcome. Good night, Anakin." Anakin hesitates and then ducks in. Obi-Wan doesn't register it's a hug until it's already over, and the boy is hurrying out of the storage room, his steps quiet on the metal floors. For a moment, Obi-Wan just stares after him, before sighing and hoisting himself up to sit on the clothing crate. Poor kid. "So, turns out the Jedi Order is messed up," Obi-Wan murmurs to himself, and lifts the bottle, snorting. "And water is wet, and space is vast. More news at 11.